when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world. You'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are on this little globe that we call the world, folks. To anyone listening to Blood River Radio, that's right, you're listening to Blood River Radio. It is February the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2020, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This will be the last day of the month, our last broadcast of the month of February, and also it is the last day of Dresden month. Every from now on, as long as there's a Blood River Radio, February will be designated Dresden month, in memorial of Dresden, Hamburg, and all the cities of this great nation of Germany that was bombed to a cinder in World War II. And listen, we have a great closer. I couldn't think of a much better closer to have for Dresden month than the one and only Monica Schaefer. For you people that have never listened to us when we had Monica Schaefer on, she is the German-Canadian. Her entire family migrated over to Canada from Germany. Her father fought in the German army, the German army, the Wehrmacht. He died. He suffered. And I think he lived, but he lived through one of the Eisenhower death camps. Her entire family experienced what we know is the firebombing in Germany, the horrors of the World War II. So she's going to be coming on at the mid. It's going to be very unusual tonight because we never, ever bring a guest on at the bottom of the first hour. But we're bringing her on the bottom of the first hour, and she's going to join our other very special guest. She's going to hang on. The beginning of the second hour, we're going to bring on Jason Bartlett. Jason Bartlett is the Boer Trekker. He's the Afrikaner. So over here visiting, sojourning in America, he is walking from Austin, Texas to Washington, D.C. to try to draw attention to the global white genocide going on, what we call hard genocide going on in South Africa. So he is going to team with Monica Schaefer. They both have family that have experienced this global white genocide, hard genocide. That's what's going on tonight. But before we do that, and this is the rest of the outline, Matt's going to come on, and we're going to decide if this coronavirus, is it just circus? Is it real? Is it more of the injunction that Margaret Sanger and all of her buddies at Lucius Tress talked about, and with Dr. Stanley Monteith used to talk about on his show all the time. Sam knows who Dr. Stanley Monteith is. There'll never be another Dr. Stanley Monteith. But people, before we do anything else, you know the drill. We're going to go to the prayer. And so our other little young co-host, Matt, you all know Matt, he's going to lead us into prayer. So take off from the prayer, Matt.
So Father, we have sheep scattered all over and lost and missing their way, Father. The people that call themselves our leaders are off in some other farm, off in some other field, tending some other flock instead of their own, Father. We pray that you strike those people down and replace our leadership in this country with godly Christian leadership that really respects you and points to you. And, Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy, and we especially thank you for what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Thank you for dying for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Take it away, Matt.
So, it's wonderful to be back. I was out. I had a little bit under the weather, but I'm glad to be back, and I'm feeling good. If you could do the Louisiana holler, hey, without going into four different octaves, you're about 98% recovered, I'd say. Well, folks, I got to ask some questions here. So we've been dealing with some issues, but before I really get rolling, I want to make a disclaimer and say this might be the most controversial episode or show of Blood River Radio we've ever done. I've got some lineup things to talk about, but this might be a very controversial show because we're going to talk about the money powers. We also, before I get going, I wanted to say a quick thank you to my good friend. I've known him for a long time. He gives me a lot of economic advice and helps shape my economic theory. And he'll know exactly who I'm talking about when I say, thank you, Joe Cash. I've known this man a long time. He's sent me a lot of information and a great friend of mine. And we go back a long way. But, yeah. So, folks, about December of last year, we started getting a few news sources picked up on this virus we've been hearing about. And a few of them started talking about it. Oh, it's just a virus that broke out in China. And then a few more picked up on it. And before too long, every news outlet was talking about this virus that erupted in Wuhan province in China. And this virus has become a household name now. It's even stretched, and the hysteria has reached all the way into the continent for all the far-right news. Everyone acknowledges that there is
no large pandemic or epidemic.
For heaven, we're going to let him. Bruno, you ask the question. You don't believe in the virus at this point.
Sam.
You're living under a rock.
Yeah.
Ready?
Okay, we'll do. Hey, Matt, we're not getting you. You're not coming through. We got a horrible transmission, so I'm going to have to take over. Maybe you can get a clearer line, but I'm going to take over what you're talking about. So anyway, people, what Matt's talking about is this coronavirus, and I may be going out on a limb here, but as you probably heard me interject, I talked about, is this part of the injunction that the Margaret Sanger and her crowd at Okay. Matt, could you hear what I was talking about then, son?
Yeah, I did. So, as this virus...
So, go ahead. You're coming through good now. Go ahead.
Good, good. So, as the virus got cranking, all these circles started adopting it. The far right, even alternative news sources on the far right, like True News, said, if you don't believe in this virus now, at this point, you're living under a rock. Well, I might be a little old-fashioned or a caveman. I might even be one of those living under a rock, but I've got some questions. And I'll guarantee you that no one else across any news source across this country is going to talk about the things that Blood River Radio is going to talk about right now. Earlier in this month, I had to ask myself a serious question.
Oh, we're going to go right now, Matt. We'll be right back. There's the music. Maybe we'll get a clearer connection when we come back, but you're doing fine now. People, hang on to your seat. Right, Matt's going to come back. He's going to break down, is the coronavirus, is it trumped up? Is it man-made? What the hell is it? Matt's going to break it down when we come right back. Hang on to your seats, folks.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. DefendAPatriot.com.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Well, people, we're going right back. We excused the extraneous noise a minute ago. I think we've got that all straightened out now. Now we're going to go right back to Matt talking about the coronavirus and what we can do, all peaceful ways that we can combat that virus. Go ahead, Matt.
So my first question of the month, early this month, I started asking myself, when all this hysteria is going on, where did all this hysteria come from? The biggest question I had to ask myself, what's a good litmus test to make sure that this is true news or fake news? And my immediate thought went to, what's the theme of our show, Eddie? South Africa. My immediate
Correct.
Thought went there. Do you know how many Chinese nationals live in South Africa?
A bunch.
It's probably well near 10% of their population. A large number of Chinese nationals live in South Africa. And I wondered, with all this virus raging in China, why have we not heard much from South Africa? Why have we not heard about virus situations in South Africa? There's other questions. Did we not have many, many flights and passenger cruise ships all during the last 2 months, Eddie, coming into America?
What,
flights straight from China. Did we not have that? Did we not have?
Of course we did.
Is Trump still doing his major rallies at football stadiums and large stadiums? Gatherings of 60,000, 30,000 plus people. We had the Super Bowl during this exact time. Probably 60 to 100,000 people showed up for that. We also have the troops in South Korea. South Korea is one of those zones where they said the virus is going out of control. The troops there said they were completely not prepared to deal with this virus. Now, I want to ask you, Eddie, does this sound like a government that's taking a virus serious?
Well, they sound like they're pretty. They're like Sam said. It sounds like they're trying to. If they want to spread it, yes.
Or at least not taking it serious. So if we haven't seen a case in South Africa, our government's not taking it serious. Now another question: who made Vice President Mike Pence a czar of the virus?
he's a man
qualified to be a medical czar of this virus? Y'all, this is
well, he's not a football player.
No, this is a total clown show. Seriously. I'm trying to wake you folks up. So also, under this political czar, under this czar and his little cabinet, he has these meetings. There's economic advisors on his board. Now, I want y'all to remember something, and remember this phrase well. It comes from Old Brother, Where Art Thou? And it's when John Goodman's character says, "It's all about the money, boys. It's all about the money." And I'm here to tell you,
Matt,
I suppose that this, yes.
Also, Matt, if there goes, do you think it could have something to do with never let a good crisis go to waste?
Absolutely, but we're going to get to that. So, devil's advocate, let me say, Matt, I've seen all these videos of China without people walking on the streets. Remember, it was their Chinese New Year. We've seen, Matt, I've seen people with masks on in China. Well, two answers to that. One, it is flu season. And two, all these news outlets have stock photos from previous crisis events. So all they have to do is regurgitate old photos. This is very simple. Plus, a third point I want to get across to you. You say, well, Matt, but all these news sources are saying the same things. But they all get their news from certain sources, like Reuters.
And who controls the news? Who controls the news, Matt?
And who controls Reuters? It's you know who. It's that special tribe that always seems to make its presence a thorn in people's side. So I want to ask you another question. These questions start coming to my mind. Ask yourself, we've had all these flights coming from direct from China into America. In China, the news said that within a few weeks, it had gone to 50,000, 60,000 people were infected. We've had the same amount of flights coming from China into America. How many people are infected 2 months later in America? They're saying 22, I think is the new number. 22. Yeah. So I also have another thing I want to throw out there. When you look at the money.
Yeah, you know, if they don't fit the government criteria to put that virus through, the signs and symptoms of that virus, they probably don't even test them anyway, Matt. Oh, they just let them go. You know, they're typical government bureaucrats. What can you expect? But go ahead, fella.
So we have a company that we can look at, another litmus test. I looked at Alibaba. When all these companies' stocks fell in America the past few days, Alibaba's still looking pretty good. Guess what Alibaba deals with? Alibaba predominantly deals with Chinese manufacturing. It's kind of like the Amazon. You go the Amazon.com of China. You go on there and you can order 1,000 sink faucets for your company. Okay, that's what Alibaba does. They're the Chinese man. They are a liaison between Western businesses and Chinese manufacturing, and their company's going strong. Now I'm kind of curious. Now I'm really curious. So. One thing that if you've been talking to any people that track the stock market, one thing that happened way back in October, we started hearing that in 4 to 5 or 6 months, we're going to have a major economic crash. This was all the way back in October. Eddie, was anyone talking about coronavirus in October?
You know, I don't think they were talking about it that much, if any. I can't remember anything about that. No, I can't.
Coronavirus, we first started hearing about it in December. So it's just funny that when in October, all the economic community who's charting out stuff in the stock market is saying we're expecting a large crash within 4 to 6 months. This coronavirus was very timely. So I've got something I want to read to you folks. It says it started in September and ended late in October when share prices on the New York Stock Exchange collapsed. It was the most devastating stock market crash in the history of the United States. When taking into consideration the full extent and duration of its after effects, the crash which followed the London Stock Exchange's crash of September signaled the beginning of the Great Depression. What happened last week, ironically or not ironically, maybe it was supposed to, maybe it was planned, but it happened. The market slipped, its first big slip, on Tuesday. Now, if you know anything about the Great Depression, you know that they call it Black Tuesday. That was the day the market slid very heavy, about 12%. Well, through all last week, Tuesday till Friday, our market slid and went down about 11%. And I'm just throwing this out there, but prepare, people. You need to prepare for a bigger fear than a virus. because what happened in the years between 1929 and 1933 was a serious government takeover of independence, a government takeover of household powers. It was a total attack on our monetary system, that we actually, our currency system. They ended it with things like the Gold Confiscation Act of 1933. And more than a virus, what we really need to be scared about is that they are setting us up for a major economic collapse. And the devil's in the details. They, like we talk about, they print it in plain sight. They hide it in plain sight. And I take that that the last week's crash, starting on Tuesday, Black Tuesday, was a signal. And what do you think about that, Eddie?
Well, I think it's all in the plan. You speak about reading things. I think in, they do. The people we're talking about, the Luciferians, the Masons, the Zionists, which are all one of the same, they think many years, many decades into the future, and they do set things up. Let me read this thing quickly that Aaron Russo put up. And Aaron Russo he's a big time filmmaker. He was killed, died. Take your pick. He was the one that made one of the greatest shows I think has ever been made about the Luciferians, and that was called Eyes Wide Shut. Here's what he said. He was best friends. Well, I ran out of time, people. People will have to cover this at a little later time. We're getting ready to go to a break, and we're going to bring the one and only Monica Schaefer on in just a minute. So hang on to your seats, people. Be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Donald Trump has delivered on one of his campaign promises as the United States signed a peace agreement with the Taliban aimed at bringing an end to 18 years of bloodshed in Afghanistan and allowing U.S. troops to return home from America's longest war. Under the agreement, the U.S. would draw down its forces from 13,000 to 8,600 within 3 months, with the remaining forces withdrawing in 14 months. Here's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
The agreement that we will sign today is the true test of this effort. We will closely watch the Taliban's compliance with their commitments and calibrate the pace of our withdrawal to their actions. This is how we will ensure that Afghanistan never again serves as a base for international terrorists.
The United States spent more than $750 billion on all sides of the war. This is USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. And it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A person in Washington state infected with the coronavirus has died, according to the Seattle and King County Department of Health. The fatality marks the first death associated with the virus inside the United States. The death comes after U.S. officials have warned that the coronavirus now appears to be spreading within the country from person to person, independent of any foreign travel. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention acknowledged three such cases, known as community spread, on the West Coast. Chief Petty Officer Edward Gallagher, a Navy SEAL charged and acquitted of murdering an ISIS prisoner in 2017, speaks this Sunday on 60 Minutes on why he was wrong to pose for photos with the wounded prisoner.
It's wrong. I'll say it's wrong now. I definitely learned my lesson. It's distasteful.
He also told the interviewer he had no sympathy for the enemy. The case jumped to the forefront when President Donald Trump intervened on his behalf. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, I hope you tuned in because you're getting ready to listen to one of the greatest guests we've ever had on this show. We're having the one and only Margaret Schaefer come on. She's going to, Monica Schaefer, excuse me. She's going to take over the second half of this hour, and she's going to stay with us. She's going to stay with Blood River, and she's going to be interacting with Jason Bartlett in the entire second hour. How are you doing tonight, Miss Monica? Excuse my
lapse. I'm doing just great. Thank you, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing pretty gadgum good, I guess, for an old geezer, man. I'm getting ready to do my fifth New York Marathon, and God willing, in the training, also training for the Zion 100 mile race. They give me 33 hours to finish that. I hope I live to do that. And if the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ stays with me long enough, maybe I'll be able to do it and give him all the glory. And so you're doing pretty good. You have a lot of news tonight. Before we cover anything else, I would like you to tell the people the newly elected presidency that you were either elected or appointed, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's the Truth and Justice for German Society, which has been in existence. They had their first organizational meeting back in 2014. And there are absolutely wonderful people that had that organization going for these years, but it was a little bit dormant the last few years. And they wanted a more public face for the president to head it up. And I am already a public face. There's no question about that. Having been a political prisoner for, you know, having questioned World War II history, the Orthodox version of that, which is just full of lies, and went to jail for it in Germany, and have been speaking publicly and on shows and showing my face. And this, I also am of German descent and speak German, and they did want somebody to head it up now that was in my position, somebody who is showing their face publicly. Now, this is not to say that they didn't have people running the organization, but the former president in the last few years was somebody who, for reasons of employment and family and whatnot, was not able to show sort of who he was in public. And I mean, there's lots of people who do fantastic work behind the scenes, so to speak. And that's great. We need all those people too. We also need people who put their faces out there publicly. And we need everybody on board. We need all hands on deck. So I am not one to judge how anybody handles this, as long as everybody who is coming on board knows what's going on, that everybody has to help in some way. So anyway, back to this, the Truth and Justice for German Society. What could be more important than, first of all, speaking the truth about our history and thereby rectifying the wrongs? Germany has been slandered and lied about for decades and decades. And really, that, we want to connect some dots today. We talked about this before the show, that, you know, we're going to have your guest that is South African and can tell us all about the situation there. And these are all very related issues. So what is going on in South Africa? We must take note of that, because this is what could be in store for us if we do not, you know, turn this around. And we need to do that. And to do that, we need to understand and know the truth. So this ties in with knowing the truth about our history and absolutely bringing down this fragile house of cards, which is coming down. People are waking up rapidly. And really, Germany is at the heart of this. They are often referred to as the heart of Europe. And what was done to them in World War II is absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, if you want to talk about Holocaust, Germans were Holocausted in their cities. And I know you were talking about Dresden, and this is still February, and you spoke about all of February being Dresden month in your book.
That's right.
And I think that is so appropriate. Sorry? Were you
Officer, that's right. And you're exactly right. And Monica, we picked you to close out. You're the closer. We got the bases loaded this month for Dresden month, but we're depending on you to knock them all in to get a grand slam, four home runs, baby. So you go ahead and keep going. I just want to let you know, you are the closer for Dresden month at Blood River Radio.
Yeah. And you know, Dresden, for people who might not have heard about what happened in Dresden, this was like the Venice of the North. They considered it just, it was one of the most beautiful cities in Europe, in Germany. And, you know, architecturally and culturally, it was stunning. And there were no military targets there. Plus, the city was absolutely bulging with refugees fleeing from the Red Army and terrorized from the eastern territories where Germans were, you know, being overrun by the Red Army, and the atrocities that were being done were just horrendous. The city was filled to the, just absolutely filled with refugees, women and children, and like I said, no military, there was no military, what do you call it, installation.
Military forces.
Yeah,
there were no military forces. It was not. It was a non-military target. It was not vital as a military target at all.
Exactly, and the German people actually they felt safe there. First of all, because of the fact that it wasn't a military target, and it had not been hit at all for the duration of the war until February 13th, 1945. So this is at the end of the war, the last 2 months, you know, and so. They just felt that, well, who would ever bomb this place? It's just so beautiful, and it's just beautiful buildings and cultural centers and whatnot. And so it literally was full. And Churchill, I mean, he's kind of infamous for his quote of saying, don't tell me how to, you know, get military targets, tell me how I can roast 600,000 Germans. And this is what they set about doing, and they bombed the city for 2 days running with a pause of 2 or 3 hours in between, just enough for the rescue people, like the ambulances and fire people to come in and try to rescue those who had survived, and also for people to come out of their bunkers if they weren't already asphyxiated. And then the bombing started again and it was firebombing, like to actually light the city on fire. And the firestorm killed a lot of people. It sucked. The winds were just horrendous and sucked the people into the firestorm because, I mean, if you have a big fire like that, the winds that are generated are just huge. And people were getting stuck in the molten pavement and became human torches. I mean, it was just horrendous. And nobody will ever know how many died there. But, you know, the worst of it is that the official numbers, they downgrade it by multitudes, like several zeros they've taken off. They say 25,000. And it was probably closer to 300,000, perhaps even 500,000. Nobody will ever know because the ones that were actually accounted for were somewhere around 240,000, like actual names accounted for. But that doesn't include the refugees because how can they be accounted for? You see, so it was in the hundreds of thousands, but the official numbers are 25,000. So you see, the Germans are not even permitted to mourn their own. In fact, they are criminalized for doing so, because if they are actually speaking the truth about what happened to Germany in World War II, then they are breaking the law, like paragraph 130, the one that I was charged under for questioning World War II history, the big event, you know, called the Holocaust, which you know, this none of the evidence shows that there were gas chambers. In fact, all the evidence points to there never having been an extermination plan or anything like that. And yes, people died in the work camps. Nobody disputes that. But you see, if you question any of those official things, then you are breaking their laws. And then to top it off, when you are trying to explain how you reached your conclusions or you want to bring evidence into the court, you are again breaking their law because you are not allowed to do that. You are again doing new speech crime in court.
Monica,
and then you get...
We have to go to a break, Monica. But when we come back, we're going to bring... see if Matt has a question or two. But I hate to interrupt you. I like to listen to you keep going. But when you come back, tell the people who haven't listened before what happened to you while you were imprisoned. And it all ties into what you're talking about. So when we come back, let the folks know why you were a political prisoner and where, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, people, we'll be right back. We're going to come right back in a few minutes. We're going to let Monica...
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Well, people, thank you for holding on. We're going to go right back to Miss Monica, and she's going to tell you what she was talking about for all you new listeners who haven't heard her before. She's been on here several times in the past. But, Miss Monica, let those people know how you were unjustly imprisoned and where.
Well, Well, it all stems back to a short video I made in which I apologized to my mother, or to her spirit, because she's no longer alive, for having reprimanded her when I was a teenager, because at that time we were learning in school about all those horrible things that the Nazis and Hitler did to the Jews, like making soap and lampshades and shrunken heads out of part, you know, Jewish bodies and skin and fat and whatnot. I mean, and the gas chambers and all these things. And I was horrified. So I reprimanded my mother for not having done something to help stop all that. And much later, I started to learn the truth when I started to awaken about how it really is in the world. Because, you know, we all were indoctrinated. We're all in a matrix until we take the proverbial red pill, so to speak, and start to wake up about what's going on in the world. And so then made this little video, "Sorry, Mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust." And it pretty much went viral and it struck a chord. And I basically said these things didn't happen. And, you know, just a short video. Anyway, when I went to Germany to visit my brother Alfred, who lives there, and I went in for Christmas 2017, and then in early 2018, was arrested, and I was actually in the public gallery of a courtroom watching the speech crime trial of Sylvia Stoltz, another, you know, political prisoner. She is currently in jail for a speech she gave, and that's a whole other story too, but it all ties in, because in Germany, like I say, first you cannot say XYZ, then you cannot say how you reached your conclusions XYZ, and then you can't even describe the legal situation, because that's what Sylvia Stoltz is currently in jail for. Anyway, at that trial, they spotted me in the gallery. They did a recess. We stepped out into the corridor, and there these three armed thugs, well, they call themselves police officers, they came and arrested me and threw me in the gulag there, and took 6 months before the trial began. Then the trial took another 4 months, well, 20 trial dates over the 4 months, and then I was released on time served after 10 months. And my brother, he is still in jail. And he just recently got additional jail time for his defense, for things he said in court during our trial. See, that's I cannot underline that enough, that when history comes to you enforced by law, I mean, you can only reach one conclusion. It's a lie. And when you are not allowed to explain yourself in court, which, you know, we all were raised to believe that in court there's justice is served. They weigh the evidence, this side, that side, and they make a fair judgment. But when you are not permitted to explain yourself, or not permitted to bring evidence which would support your conclusions, I mean, really, this alone should give people cause for question about the stories we are told. And in this case, it is the story of this Jewish Holocaust. So in this day and age, the digital age, everybody can do their research on, you know, the non-Hollywood sites and non-Hollywood type of information. I mean, we've been spoon-fed and drip-fed this story since we're born, and it's being forced now with all these forced, you know, education for the children in school and all these new Holocaust museums going up all over the world, okay. Really. Yes.
Would you say, would it be, if I make this statement, would this be a fair statement that the courtrooms in Germany and probably the courtrooms in Germany and probably the United States and all the Western white world, would you say they were becoming re-education camps? We've been talked about going back to George Orwell talking about the re-education camps. Have the courtrooms become re-education camps for you? But you're going to be forced to admit a lie. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. You just have to admit to a lie. You have to say that you profess a lie. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, George Orwell would be rolling in his grave to see what is going on now. We are certainly in that world that he was trying to warn us about in that very brilliant novel called 1984. It is absolutely, everything is opposite. Everything is on its head. Everything is opposite. So, yeah, I mean, I'm actually rendered speechless sometimes when I think about how far down this road of tyranny we have gone with what we are allowed to think and say. And, you know, it's not just what we're allowed to say, but they now read your mind. Like in these German laws, to be accused of Holocaust denial, in the German word for it, you cannot deny something that did not happen or does not exist. And so what they do is they twist it by saying this: the accused knows that this happened, this Holocaust happened, but he or she is lying about it. So they know it happened, but they are saying it didn't happen, so they are a liar, and we're going to throw them in jail and throw the key away. You see, that is how absurd it has become. So when you say to the judge, no, Your Honor, I have the evidence here to show that I am speaking the truth and I am not lying, and here's the evidence. And then the judge says, no, you are not allowed to bring that evidence and you're not allowed to say those things. New crime. You're doing new crime. You see, that is how absurd it is. And I, you know, if I hadn't have experienced it myself or seen it myself, or I could scarcely believe this, I would say, no, you're exaggerating. You're making this up. But this is the way it is, folks. It is truly that absurd. And, you know, I just want to bring this around to why it is important to understand the truth. You see, this one particular event, the Holocaust, the so-called Jewish Holocaust, it is a millstone. It is a millstone which is dragging us all down. I mean, first and foremost, it has kept Germany down, but by extension, all white people. You see, because if you object to any of their current policies, be it about open borders or any number of other things which are very destructive to us, they immediately brand you with weaponized terms such as racist. And that's one of
xenophobe.
The most, yeah, xenophobe, all kinds of words, weaponized words. And then, oh, that's going to lead to the next Holocaust. You see, that's, or, oh, you're a Nazi or a neo-Nazi. And, you know, oh, another Holocaust is going to happen because of your views, your evil views. So this is the millstone. And together with this comes this notion of white guilt, that we, the white race, are guilty of everything and anything that has ever happened in this world that is bad. And in that white guilt, there are all these lies that are told, lies about our history. And, I mean, for me, the one that has affected my life and that I know something about is the one that I went to jail for, questioning the Holocaust. And so, and I really do believe that is kind of at the center of it, because when that lie falls, and it is falling, many, many, many people worldwide totally understand that for the hoax that it is, then the other ones fall as well, you see, because I really do think that in our current times, that is like the keystone. It is the key to our predicament.
Monica, how close would you say America and Canada is to having a indefensible legal situation where when you go to court, they just throw you in jail?
Yeah, it's... I think that we have to really be mindful and vigilant that we are going down the same road. I mean, they are bringing in such draconian legislation. For example, in Canada now, if you are objecting to this new LGBTQ agenda, you're going to jail, or, you know, your children get taken away from you. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on with that. The situation right now in Canada is very dire, and you know, they've got these hate speech laws, so it's a little bit different than in Germany and many other European countries, so it's not as direct directly linked to the Holocaust, as in Germany, for instance, but that does not mean you are safe from persecution here when you question the Jewish story, you know, and that's what it is the Jewish story. Of it's their religion, basically, and if you question it, you're a heretic.
Well, Monica, we've run out of time. Monica and Matt, we've run out of time for the first hour. We're going to let Matt go because we're bringing on Mr. Bartlett on the second hour. People, we got to go. Monica's going to stay on with us, and she's going to interact with Jason Bartlett as soon as we come back from this break. Thank you very much. Hang on to your seats.